for me to show up to something once a week, like, it would take a lot.
And at one point, there is a boy that's like, the services were 3 hours long. Yeah. And I'm like, never could I ever sit through anything for 3 hours.
I guess what I'm saying is, sir, I need to go home. I'm not really cult potential. Yeah. And if you're looking to start one, I wouldn't start with me.
Welcome to another episode of Stay Rooted with your hosts, Stephanie and Lauren. Pull up a chair because you're attending the virtual mom support group.
Light your sage because we are going through it
and growing through it.
And we're always rooting for you. We had a weekend. And I will say, like, the weekend, reflecting on it, we spent a lot of time outside.
Yeah, because it's June.
So it's hard to feel mad about the state of your house when you're like, no, but we spent the whole time outside, so who cares?
We've been outside for a while.
Yeah, we didn't have a house. We live in the yard. But we had a good weekend, and one of the cool things about this weekend is that we got to have a sleepover friend.
Yes, and that was so nice.
Yes, it was kind of a spur-of-the-minute thing that we put together, but we were like, hey, our girls need a cheap thrill. We need a cheap thrill. Let's plan a sleepover.
Yeah, and like I said, it's June.
It's June.
If you're coming to us from the queer side of the island, happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
And I am already mapping out the weekends of June.
Yeah, because if not, they get taken from you.
And when I did, and they were already mostly taken.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to do at least one weekend where it's sort of low key, yes, but like about Lennon in a very slow summer way. Yes.
So backyard pool.
Yeah. And as, like I said, I looked at the month in review and I said, oh my goodness. So I like immediately texted you and I was like, we should collaborate on a slumber party.
Absolutely.
Be everyone's hero.
Absolutely.
And then I was like, how about 3 days from now? And you said, sure.
I said, sure. So Lennon came, she slept over. And at the same time, my mother-in-law was also visiting. So we just had a giant slumber party.
Yeah, which was awesome. And I loved the idea that your mother-in-law got to see the girls just kind of in their own, like, element, because when people visit from any distance, I feel as though, especially if they're staying overnight with you,
yes,
like there's a certain razzle dazzle that happens for them.
You're like, you're like, I want to show you the local spots.
Yeah, and you're like, you're getting like this personified tour guide Barbie version of me. So like, for your mother-in-law to be able to come and just see like
what normalcy,
average Friday night looks like.
And that's where Luke and I, like, I know, you know, we see my parents more because we live closer to them. So when his family comes to visit, he tries to plan, like, where are we going to go? What are we going to see? And it was so funny because he had all these little ideas, and his mom got to the house and she was like, I don't want to leave this yard. And I was like, me neither. I'm so glad you're here. So we only left to get ice cream and to watch Nora's softball.
That's my spirit anytime I make any plans.
Yeah, you're like,
I'm like, what if we didn't?
What if we didn't? What if I saw you, but we just stayed right here?
And then in like true me fashion, I was like, I know that Lennon's going to sleep over, but I'm going to invite myself to your house.
Oh, yes. Which was super fun because honestly, I just love a backyard late night s'mores hang. But fun fact, I kind of hate s'mores. Like, I don't even
want
to.
Don't you say that.
I'm sorry. I know. I've already sat it out here. I won't say hate because I would eat one and there are things that I hate that
first
I wouldn't eat.
First of all, Stephanie was like, I think that we're going to make s'mores. And I said, absolutely, because that means there will be an open fire.
Yes.
So anything that I can cook over a fire, I'm down to eat.
Of course.
So s'mores are on the list.
The thing is, I love s'mores, but I only want to make them and then I'll pass them out. So when you were like, I need a s'mores, I was like, I've got you because I don't want to eat it.
Soulmates.
And honestly, these s'mores, they were thrilling for the kids, but for the parents, we were kind of like, why are those marshmallows $80?
They were FDA approved, but like, what does that even mean anymore?
That doesn't hold the same weight that like it used to.
I'm over here like, I get there's this bag of like Lucky Charms colored marshmallows, big marshmallows.
If you've gone in the Target checkout line in June, you will see them.
Technicolored. And then and then I read the bag and it says color changing, which I'm like, the science behind that cannot be healthy or organic.
A chemical reaction, they said. Eat it.
I dare a scientist to come on this show and tell me that that's a healthy thing to
do. And you saw Lukey after that s'more.
Yeah, and I saw his reaction to the red dials.
Yeah, Lukey was literally, so Lukey went through a flight of emotions that night. He was, first of all, extremely wound up. And one thing I will say is, like, Lukey in the backyard, like, he has a 1-to-1 8 at school and at home. Like, yes. There is always somebody within 5 feet of Lukey.
Absolutely.
And he chose you.
I would say most of the time he chooses that person. Yes. He, like, grabs your hand. And like a predator, he's just like isolates his prey.
He does. He swirls you around. He's like, let's make him a little bit dizzy.
He disorients you, yeah.
I'm going to lead her to the marshmallows.
But yeah, but I willingly went. And me and him just like vibed the whole time. Yes. He was just snuggling me so hard. But yeah, he had 18 color-changing marshmallows.
It made everyone uneasy. Nobody permitted that.
It wasn't his finest hour. And he was like, Lauren, just squeeze me until feel okay. And
they were becoming one person. And honestly, Lasky and I were just kind of rounding up the chickens.
Oh my God. Lasky was there in a fashion like she was the paid help. Like
she is. And honestly, like,
she's like, I'm a farmhand here.
Every time I put away the chickens without her, I wish she were there because it just adds a little bit of something to the situation. Like, we were going in the coop and she's starting to get to the place where she wants to pick up the chickens. They make her a little nervous because of the wing flapping, of course, but like, not enough that she's gonna stop asking to do it again and again.
No. She woke up in the morning the next day at home and she was like, I go see Stephanie's chickens. I miss Stephanie.
I miss, like, you too.
But then, so I'd say you guys really connected as well.
We truly did. We swapped babies.
We baby swapped.
And when you can do that with a person, that's a super special thing, especially the second baby, because they tend to hang on to the moms a little extra tight.
And my husband made a great point that he was like, you and Stephanie were hanging out, but like, I didn't even see you two talk to each other.
No, I will say, like, you were at my house for a couple hours, I think. Might have said one sentence to you. I don't know.
I was like, you good? And you were like,
I went to sit next to you on the swing, and Lukey was like, honestly, I've been trying not to focus on it, but he was like, leave.
It's a minor detail in the
story. I was like, oh, you need me to get something. I'll pretend that you don't want me to leave. And then I left. But it was super sweet.
I'll be right back with that, maybe. But I have to say, the one part of the evening that was about us was that I was wearing one of the things from our traveling outfit.
Yes.
I was wearing one of your shirts.
Yes.
And I feel like it's a trial period because I haven't dropped off my bundle to you.
Yes.
Because like I said, I brought the things down, like, and I left them on the step. But apparently I left them like one day too much and my husband just put them back away.
Yeah, he said, what is she doing?
And I haven't gathered the strength to take them back off the hangers yet.
When you're done with your rental service, we'll swap. You know, we're working out the fine kinks. This is like when Netflix used to be on DVDs.
I was just going to say it's like early Netflix.
Yeah, like, we're still in our garage phase right now, but it's going to get there.
But I have to say that I liked the shirt, and it was a hit with my husband.
It's so cute.
I have a funny anecdote. Before I went to your house, I was like, we had to get like milk and like, I don't know, like, you know, like the random things that you need that you're like, they're going to be at a Speedway near me. You know, they're going to be at a Mobile.
Of course.
So I went to the gas station, and as I was leaving the house, my husband like checks me out and he's like, where are you going? I was like, I'm going to Speedway to get milk. And he was like, I don't even want to misquote him because I wrote it down. And he goes, stay close to home in that. I just said, sir, what?
I'm going to get milk.
Like, what does the proximity of our home have to do with my outfit?
It had something to do with something.
And then I just, like, got on my feminist soapbox, and I'm like, I could cheat on you
if I want
that
to.
Tree there. He's like, it was never about that. I was just saying you looked hot. Yeah.
I love that.
But I really broke it down for no reason.
And it worked because I saw you wearing the shirt and I was like, I like that shirt. But it's my shirt.
And I was like, stay close to home in that. Like, don't go to another town's Walgreens.
Don't you dare go to the next town over looking like that.
Who knows who you'll meet.
With that buttoned up linen top.
But I did. I liked it. And it just not being mine, I liked it more.
That's what I'm saying.
Automatically.
And me seeing my friend wear it made me want to wear it more.
What are we but adult children?
We're getting there and we're figuring it out. I will say, so our girls, We had the best time, but the thing about starting a hang at s'mores time is they weren't ready for bed ever.
So that's another thing I was going to say. We stayed late. Like, we left at bedtime.
And they were like, so it's not bedtime, bitch.
And you were like, one kid tonight. And by the time we got home and put the one kid to bed, we were like, time to go to bed.
Time to bed. Time for bed.
Because we truly, like, I think got home at 9 o'clock, and we live like less than 10 minutes away from you.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah, so your night went on way longer than mine.
It went on way longer, and honestly, like, I think they finally, like, fell off to sleep around 10:30, which for them is, like, late. You know, if Nora stays up till 9:30 on a weekend night, she's getting a little wonky at that time. So to push it an extra hour, like, they were wonky, but... That wasn't even my problem. I was like, we can stay up late. Like, we can stay up a little late. Nora doesn't have softball till 10 tomorrow. That's 12 hours from now. We're okay. We're okay. Fine. Everything's fine. 5:25 in the morning. Stephanie. I'm like, no. You guys are supposed to sleep in. I gave you the changing marshmallows so that you would drift into a sugar coma and sleep until 7.
I thought I had more time.
So those
That's
girls,
always the way a late bedtime goes. Don't keep those kids up.
Bartholomew's.
It's a waste of your sanity.
Lukey will sleep. He had a late night. I think the girls were outside for an hour and a half before that boy shook off the dust and woke up. You know, he was lounging. Those girls, the second one of them had to pee and the sun was out, they were like, it's time to wake up, girl. It's time to wake up.
That's the way the Bodwins do it. And honestly, like, my children like to get up and get going. I love, oh my God. I'm such a morning person.
Yes.
But I like to wallow in my morning.
Yeah, Sunday like morning, rain is falling.
Drink my coffee under like a blanket. Like, I'll be the earliest person up, but I'll be the last one to get ready.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Absolutely.
My girls want to be outside barefoot. Like,
my God.
We haven't even changed an overnight diaper.
I think
and my
baby
is at
outside.
The door.
Outside. I think I texted you. I'm like, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'm in my yard, Lauren. What am I doing? And then I'm like, and then, you know, that led into Nora's 10 o'clock softball game, which then led into an entire day pool hang. And I was like, these girls are not going to make it to lunch, but they rallied. They had the best time. They had a dance party. We had a pool party. We were whipping that little Jeep around the yard. And we just had the best backyard day until it ended. And that was when Nora succumbed to pollen, question mark.
Nobody's think it's the air quality.
No, we really, we're blaming the earth. But before, like, we get into our topic and all of that, I do want to mention a couple of things that your/our kids say, because whenever I have your kid or whenever you have my kid, I think we know that at some point they're going to say something that we're going to want to remember.
Oh, yeah. And some of it might hurt your feelings.
Some of it might.
Or mine. We'll see.
Absolutely. So one of the things that stood out to me was we were hanging out in the little, you know, blow up pool that we have. And I was risky and I let the girls get little water guns. So they're shooting them. No eyes allowed. But obviously, accidentally, an eye was shot. And they're shooting them around. And like these things have zero water pressure. They're not going to hurt anything. They're barely going to reach anything.
Yeah.
But Lennon is thinking it's hilarious to shoot it at the birds, which are yards away, and she could never reach them. And so Nora, because these girls are like sisters, they can get along like sisters, but they can bicker like sisters.
Oh, yes.
And Nora goes, don't shoot at the birds. The birds don't like the water. And your daughter, without skipping a beat, goes... What if it was a mallard duck? And she goes, if it was a mallard duck, then it would like water. And Nora was like, well, I don't think it's a mallard duck, Lennon, flying through my backyard. And I was just like, here we go.
Are these 7-year-olds or 78-year-olds?
But I will say that it really, and they are. They are old lady souls, and they were going at it, but it was in a cute, funny way. Another one that got me was, so... when it comes to the nighttime, I like to set up the nighttime razzle dazzle. You know that about me. I like to put the beds in a way that's cozy for them, make a whole little scene.
Yeah.
So I had
them. You want them to remember those
things. I want
things.
Them to remember. Those things are special to me and it's special to them. But we have learned that they are better if they don't sleep in the bed together because the bed's just too small.
Yeah. That's a trial and error.
We learned fast that that wasn't working. So we have the top bunk that Nora sleeps on because her bed is currently in the loft position. And then below.
Yeah, which my child loved to bring up to me. She's like, she's got her bed flipped. We have the IKEA bed. You know the one. It can be a loft or it can be a cage. I don't know.
I think my bed. I need to start using the cage function more.
And whenever her kid switches her bed, my kid comes home and she's like, why isn't my bed already like
that?
Yeah,
why didn't you already get the memo?
Yeah,
flip it.
So Lennon was on the floor, right?
Well, that's what you would have thought. But I walk into the room and Nora's getting comfy on the nugget bed that I had made on the floor. And I was like, Nora, I don't think that you girls should sleep together on the nugget. Like, it never ends up being comfy for both of you. And she goes, oh, no, Mom. Lennon's sleeping in my bed. And I go, okay. So
how
I'm like,
did we get there?
I don't know, but they agreed on it. So that was all that mattered to me.
Absolutely.
So I said, perfect. Lennon will sleep up there. You'll sleep down here. So Lennon gets up into the bed. And Nora has like a slanted ceiling above her. She's in the second, you know, we're on the second floor. So I'm getting Lennon up there, and Lennon goes, I love this, because when I wake up in the morning, I can hit my head. And I was like, what?
Plans for the day.
So I'm like, okay, Lennon, let's not hit our head. You know, she's being super silly because it's way too late, and we're doing all the things. Then she starts pulling Goldilocks on me. I give her a blanket. She goes, too hot. I bring her another one. Too stiff. I bring her another one. Too itchy. I was like, Lennon, do you even want a blanket? She's like, no, I'm not going to sleep with a blanket. I'm like, they are testing me.
It was never going to be right. And
did Nora tell you to do this?
No, she didn't, because that's what she does to me. And I just feel like she has this certain comfort level with you that feels like she can just fuck with you too.
1,000%.
But there's like these times where I'm trying to be silly, right? I'm like, yes, madam, please get into bed. You know, like I'm full committing to
playing
the
bit.
And then she'll do that shit to me. And then like the fourth denial, I'm like, all right, Lennon.
Yeah.
Like,
you're like, the jig is up.
I'm about to quit, you know? I'm about
to
quit this gig.
One of my favorite parts, and I already kind of told you a little bit about this, but the next morning, after the girls lived a million lifetimes in our yard before the light of day, we went to Nora's softball game. And, you know, Lennon wasn't thrilled by the game, but what I will say
she's no Sporty Spice.
She was enthralled with our conversation, and Lennon and I were sitting there. She was wearing my sunglasses.
I know, I saw.
And we were just like having a very just like mature back and forth conversation, and it felt like her and I entered a new layer because Lennon and I are friends too, in the same way that you and Nora are friends. And like the way that we were just talking back and forth and kind of joking around with each other. And like when her and Nora are together, they're going to team up against me every time.
Yeah, they're going to be mean. They're going to say,
they're going to hurt my feelings.
Like, you have a big fat head.
Yeah, they're going to be like, and you're old. And your jokes aren't funny. And your blankets are scratchy. But when it was just the two of us, we just had like a really nice conversation and it was super cute. And we honestly, we had a great sleepover. It was super fun.
Well, I do love that. And I have to say that this was a Saturday to Sunday. So we had the Sunday scaries in a big way because you had our daughter for most of the day. And we went to a wedding shower with like our friend family that like, not having our children was so odd in that setting, but it was very nice too because we got to have conversation that we wouldn't. Like, I literally got to play giant Jenga. And like I didn't even
look behind you.
I didn't even know what to do with the Jenga piece once you pull it out. Cause I literally was like, I don't get to play the games.
Yeah, no, you're like, no, I actually make sure my kid isn't destroying the games
like,
the whole time.
I'm just like hard following one of them the whole time. So that was super, super nice. But like I said, it was Sunday. So we kind of rushed home. We rushed to you once your child was falling ill.
I'm like, Nora is sleeping? Never seen this before.
And the relationship I have with Nora is like, I busted through your door. I'm like, Nora, what happened?
Yeah.
And she's just like all glazed over. I'm like, you think it's pollen?
Nora's like, like, I don't fucking know. What do you think? You're the nurse. She's
like, why are you here staring at me?
She was in a haze. And
I'm like, you're probably fine.
It was cute, though, because Nora was hardly conscious, and Lennon still wanted to be by her. So we ended up making Lennon a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Because Nora, we lost her. She fell asleep.
Yeah. Your child looked like an 18th century painting.
She was. And there's your daughter next to her. Talking to her, eating a cheeseburger.
Talking to herself. And that's what we rolled in on. But what you're not mentioning about my child is she was like 2 days of a summer weekend greasy.
Oh.
Greasy as the hamburger.
Yes, Nora as well.
And she had this look in her eyes like she went to bed at 11 and woke up at 5:30.
She was like, I'm fine. It's every person whose keys you've taken away ever.
Yeah. Like, she was like disorderly. And we still had to go get our other child who was being a solo grandchild on my parents' boat.
Yeah, she was living a whole other life.
My mom just sent a picture of her napping like in the underneath of the boat, just like she's just like laying, sleeping. Like she was like the princess.
And probably loving the motion of the ocean.
Absolutely. I'm so jealous of her right now. So we had to go and like rain on her only grandchild parade. You know, she's like eating French
fries. Take down the banners.
Like she's a seagull. And then when I get there, my dad, a boomer dad will always just make you feel like your kid's better off without you.
Yeah. They're like, they did nothing wrong and they never said no.
He's like, my daughter just like, she's like, at first she's like, ah, mama. And you know, like we're down at the docks and we're hugging her and like whatever. Then she just starts complaining, like in her own little toddler donning, like, my dad's like, that kid was fine before you got here
and showed up. We should take this baby away from you.
I'm like, I'll leave. He's like, that kid didn't, not one peep, not one. I'm like, because mom was doing everything that she wanted.
And like,
whole
you believe
time.
It though, because the second your mom comes around, that's when they start whining.
Literally, I got some out there and I was like, mom, it was hot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, I was warmer than I wanted to
be. We're the problem and the solution somehow.
I'm like, where are the seltzers?
Exactly.
You know, so I absolutely get it. But then my parents do this thing that only grandparents do. Like, they don't even see the state of their grandchildren. Like, they're just like, you want to get dinner? And I'm like, look at them. So my brother was, like, super sweet. And he, like, tried to, like, he's like, I can go, like, order food right here. Like, we'll see how long. And they were like, no, like, it's going to be such a long wait. So we were like, forget it. Like, we have to get these kids home.
We appreciate the gesture, but it's Sunday and we're scared.
I'm like, try to look them in the eye. You don't want to.
No, you don't. These kids need to be bathed. Yeah. And they're not going to go down without a fight.
Meanwhile, I'm trying to track Nora's symptoms with you so that I can have like a loose idea of what's going on with my kid.
You're
just
like,
in
3 to 5 days, what should I see?
I'm like, Steph, it's the pollen. I know. And then I'm like, is it?
Like, I wanted to be the pollen, but why is she spiking a little fever? Does pollen do that now?
Like, yes, this is new pollen.
This is AI pollen, you know? So I don't know. But maybe it was the pollen.
Yeah, but by the time, I'm like, it's fine. But by the time we got home, we're like, all right, we're going to divide and conquer because that's the style that we do things. And we got those babies in bed, freshly washed, both of them, smelling of soap by 8:30 p.m. Oh my God. It was amazing. I was like, we are champions.
All you have to do is keep them up until 10 in the morning, wake them up at 5 o'clock, make sure they go to a softball game, play in the yard all day, stop by your grandparents' boat, and they might fall asleep by 8:30.
Maybe.
That's all you have to do.
They're only going to have you come upstairs like 8 times.
only at least 8.
But on my night alone with my husband, that 1 hour that we spent together.
Glorious.
We caught up on a show that we have been watching.
Yes. I think it's a three-part docu-series. What are we calling this? Is this a...
I think it's a doc... Everything is in three parts now. That's what I've decided. Netflix is like, you love crime, 3 episodes.
Yeah, Netflix rule of three. So this one is interesting. So
what is it called?
I keep saying Dancing with the Devil. It's Dancing for the Devil.
Okay, I thought it was with also.
Yes, but honestly, four kind of like really just leads into it.
It makes more sense.
And basically, like in a broad sense, it is about a church TikTok dancing cult. Yeah. And that sounds absolutely insane. And it is. But I was sucked in right away.
The night that you told me to start watching it, which was Friday night.
Yes.
My husband and his best friend were playing music in the basement. And I had committed to being mean to them for the first few hours that they were down here.
As per protocol.
And I was like, I'm going to watch this show. So when I came downstairs to no longer be mean to them and to join their band.
Yes. You're like, wait, can I just say something on the microphone first?
I'm like, can I just sing a song? Which honestly, sidebar for a second. We recorded music on these headphones.
Yes.
And I literally felt like I was cheating on you.
Oh my. I kind of feel like you did.
Wait, you were cheering.
Who wore them?
You were cheering for me and then you were like, did you cheat on me?
Who wore them?
My husband. I cheated on you with my husband, I think.
Oh, my God.
But when you have these on, you just feel cooler.
Yes, of
you
course.
You feel official.
Of course.
I'm like, what am I, Adele?
Honestly, yes.
So when I came downstairs, I'm like, hey, I'm watching this new show that Steph told me to watch. And immediately they're like, what is it? I'm like, it's about this TikTok dance cult that's really, like, Jesus-driven. And they were like, what? And I was like, go home tonight.
Yeah.
And you open the Netflix app.
Tell me.
And that's just going to be at the top. It's going to say Jesus-driven TikTok group.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it said.
And it's on the top of everyone's Netflix banner.
Right now.
So it's a very, very odd.
Yes.
I mean, I just feel like I thought I knew exactly what it was about. And I think this is where the three-part series phenomenon comes from, right? But then they're like, there's a twist.
Yes. Every episode, they're like, and wait till you see what happens next.
Like, you thought you knew.
But it kind of starts with these two sisters, right? And their names are Melanie and Miranda.
Are they twins?
They're not twins. Okay. One, I know that one of them, I don't remember which is older, but they're not twins. And these girls are like dancers. They're great dancers. They're trying to make their like TikTok thing happen as the young gals do.
Yeah, they like audition for a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because I feel like when you watch their little like time lapse of their relationship, you do get like a little glimpse at like what the internet really became for people. I mean, we're doing it on some level that we're just like,
sure.
There's not a stage that me and you could just get on once a week and talk shit to people about our lives and be relatable. So
I could find one.
We can start booking them if the Rudy's want. Not yet, Rudy.
It's my kids' elementary school.
It's the public library near you.
Everybody's going to start somewhere.
But they say, like, in IRL, there was nowhere where they fit in. And then they started making these videos and they're like, let's make our own thing. Like, people are reacting well to this. So they get big very quick.
They
and
do.
Then they create this brand that is them as sisters.
Yes.
Which what is their last name?
I think it's the Wilkins.
The Wilkins.
Or something
sisters.
Like that. Okay. And Wilkins, whatever. And I'm watching them, and as like the designated sister, you know, I am a sister of sisters. I'm seeing these two girls that are so close thinking of me and my sisters, and I'm like, this is cool. Like, where is this going?
You know, I was just immediately thinking of my girls because, like,
yes.
I love to put myself in other people's shoes.
That's,
I love the emotional damage that it causes me.
That's what is so intriguing about this whole like thing, because you're like, you know, you picture your girls, I picture me and my sisters, and you're like, you know, nothing could come between those people.
But in the good spirit of putting ourselves in other people's shoes, I have a couple of on the spot questions.
Oh my gosh,
that are way lighter than the direction you were going in about sisterhood split ups. So
I'm ready for it.
In the name of cults, how long do you think it would take for you to figure out that you were accidentally joining a cult?
How long do I think it would take me to figure out?
Because that's what essentially happens, right? This girl, she
honestly
finds this niche of dancing, and then she's kind of led down this very, like, I don't think you'd know right away.
But the other sister, the sister that's kind of narrating the story, so there's one sister that's narrating, and then there's the one that gets sucked up into the cult. The one that's narrating, she this whole time is like, this is a church group that pays for you to do TikTok dance videos, and she's like, this just doesn't seem, I'm confused. I see me being her because I am such a paranoid person. I have a hard time, I think, trusting people and connecting with people. So I kind of see myself, like, it's hard to get me to a support group. That's why we do this here in your basement.
Yeah.
You know, so just to get me to the meetings would be hard. I actually think I would be quick to sniff it out quick just because I'm skeptical of everybody always.
Yeah. So Kenny had a really funny theory on her that I'm just like, I ignorantly supported because it was funny. That he's like, maybe she just sucks at dancing and they didn't want her in the club. And now she's mad that
she never got into the cult. She's like, but.
She's like, it was fucking weird from the start after my 15th audition to be in 7M. And I really loved it.
I love your fan theory.
At first, I was like, I might claim it as my own. But yeah. Honestly, it was too good to take credit for. Yeah, but no. I feel as though it's a great fan theory that
absolutely.
Maybe she just didn't make the cut. But I feel the same way. I feel like I am very, like you said, even people with the best of intentions for probably people that have no intentions for me in public, I think are out to get me.
Exactly.
So if I went to like this weird church.
For me to show up to something once a week, like it would take a lot.
And at one point there is a boy that's like the services were 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And I'm like, never could I ever sit
that's
through anything for 3 hours.
I guess what I'm saying
sure, I need
is
to go home.
I'm not really cult potential.
Yeah.
And if you're looking to start one, I wouldn't start with me.
I wouldn't start with me. The other thing is that my mom has like a like particular set of skills and she watches the fucking hell out of me. I am a grown ass woman. My mom would text me so fast, be like, what the fuck are you doing at that church?
Literally.
And then she'd barge through like the Kool-Aid man.
But it seems
she'd
like
never
so
even
crazy.
Allow.
Like you're watching this and you're like, so the one sister, Miranda, she starts dating a guy. I think he's kind of involved with somebody, the son of the guy who started the church. Robert Shin. This is the guy that's kind of running, it's called Shekinah, right?
Yeah.
Shekinah Church. And so she gets all tangled up into this. The other sister is kind of like, this isn't for me. And then all of a sudden, the sister that got involved with it just cuts off her family completely.
Yeah.
And you're like, how did these girls go from being like TikTok and sisters, you know, doing the things with their teaching their parents the dance, like being that group of people to being so completely brainwashed by this cult? And that's kind of like what pulls you into this because you're just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
It's a very, like, I feel like it's a slippery slope, but at the same time, I feel like the whole time you're like, how?
Yeah.
How does this happen?
Yes.
How are you outside of a gated, like, I don't even know what you'd call that.
And then you see
the redone motel.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
And then the kids are in there and the dad's like, I'll keep coming. Like, my dad is the kind of crazy that, like, he would probably, I don't want to say what he would do, but it would be violent.
Yeah. And I feel as though it's so scary to know that, like, someday your children are just adults that make their own decisions.
Yes.
And they can really do whatever they want.
For
and,
sure.
I mean, this family is obviously trying to deal with that in a way that they're respecting her space, but also, like, concerned for her safety.
Well, the creepy thing that kind of got me about this, so, like, I tried not to look at their social media accounts while we were still amidst this because I didn't want to spoil it, but then I got so curious, and I know Luke and I weren't going to be able to finish it that night, and I was like, I just need to see what's going on because typically I feel like when you see one of these kind of, like, documentaries that has something dark going on, like a cult with brainwashing and stuff like that, you know, someone dies, someone gets hurt, someone, you know, there's a darkness. And when you look up these two girls, you just see two regular looking girls just living their life. And you're like, this seems so normal and it's so not.
Yeah.
And when they start to dig into it, that's the creepy part of it. Like, I was listening to something that the daughter that kind of, the one that didn't get involved with it, Melanie, she was like, the reason why this is so important to us is that, like, we have heard so many people that have started discussions and conversations with their children about red flags and things to look out for things like this, because this group, 7M, they took advantage of artists, you know, artists that were looking for a place to fit in, artists trying to make money, trying to get their names out there. And they said, come be a part of our community and we'll support you and we'll get you out there, but we'll take all of your money and we're going to, you know, do a lot of brainwashing and we're going to disconnect you from your family. And they just had all of these really manipulative ways to gain control over these people. And it's just such a wild story.
Yeah. And I feel like it just like highlights the theme of exploitation, especially just in like young individuals who are really just already compromised by their lack of information in these industries. And I feel like you see that with Quiet on the Set and like things of that nature too. But I do feel like when I watch things about cults.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. I think this is just like, I am a nurse, okay? So we fucking laugh about everything, all right? And if you can't deal with that, Rudy's, I don't know what to tell you.
I think they know that about us by now.
But like, when I'm going to watch a show like this where a baby girl has been torn from her family, I'm going to find a cynical sense of humor.
It's the only way.
And when me and my husband were watching this, and when I watch anything about cults, the common question that comes to my brain is, what would it take me?
What would it take?
To join a cult, to willingly join a cult. I feel like you made me read a weird book where a woman was on an island, or maybe I recommended a book for you, and she joined, like, this weird culty thing. But, like, it, like, basically granted her, like, safety and protection from, like, harm during, like...
So what would it take you?
I don't know. I haven't really... I don't... What would it take you?
It would have to involve, like you're kind of saying, like safety for the family and like knowing that they would be taken care of. It wouldn't be about me. Like, I can't think of something that I would like die to be a part of that wasn't to just like protect my family.
I think if somebody said, I'll put a Three Seasons room off the back of your house.
You're in?
Probably.
Wow. Honestly,
what do you think that'll run somebody, you know?
Honestly, I kind of love where your head's at. For you to level my house and rebuild.
I love where you were taking the spirit of the novel and you were like, yes, you're right. Grant me serenity.
Now I'm thinking this, but like, what do I have to do? Like, it's Hunger Games. Grant us. Like, yeah.
I don't want a designer bag. Like, I want somebody to redo my front porch, you know?
Yeah, I don't even want to be TikTok famous. I want new hardwood floors upstairs and downstairs.
If the cult I'm joining came and redid my front porch...
If the cult I'm joining
could build... What a supportive group.
If they could come in and they could fence in my entire yard, I'm in. The bar has been lowered.
Give me the Kool-Aid.
Honestly, Lauren, if they were to just mulch my trees, if they were to just lay some mulch around my trees, I'm in.
I don't really want to let them in the house, but anything exterior, they're welcome to. And I'll drink color-changing Kool-Aid, really.
If they will bring the groceries into the house for me and put them away and maybe clean the cheese drawer, I'll join.
Right? If they'll transcribe my to-do... If they'll transcribe my grocery list into my Target cart...
Will they put away my laundry? Bye, Mom and Dad.
Will they clear the clutter from the stairs? Like... Let's just keep lowering the bar.
Can you babysit my kids, friendly cult? Me and my husband need a night together.
But honestly, yeah, so I guess that
I started off stronger.
For me, yeah, but that's the game. That's the whole game.
But that's the thing. Like, look what you just brainwashed me. I went so low.
Right? I'm that's just like
honestly,
that
I'm going to think about that probably way more often. I will say, there's a part, so there's another group of sisters that the documentary talks about, which I realize one of them is also named Melanie. So there's two other sisters, another Melanie. I was getting confused.
They didn't even dance.
They didn't even dance. There's there's people that this is the thing. Do you dance or not? You know, this
What does the dancing have to do with it? It's also like...
Yeah, it, honestly, this man, Robert...
And honestly, at first I was like, I'm safe.
Does he just really
I'm
like
dance? Because I don't dance like this.
You're like, I can't memorize an 8 count in my current condition.
Then once the second Melanie showed up, I was like, oh no, am I safe?
You're like, uh-oh, she didn't dance.
She didn't even dance. He's gonna come for me.
All they'd have to do is mow my lawn and I'd be in.
I forget like how they even
so those two their story up. Was pretty much that so you could just become a part of the church as of without the dance group. It sounds so crazy. Please
it's
watch it if you
package.
Haven't. You don't, yeah. There's a lower tuition rate if you just go to the church. And so these girls, they had a story though where like I think their mother was an alcoholic, their father left, and so they were also immigrants, and they were trying to find, like, a place where they could fit in, which, you know, you would hope a church could be a safe place for these girls to find that, and they ended up getting themselves into, honestly, I will say with the dancers, there was a lot of, like, financial, like, ruins and yeah. stuff over there, but with those sisters, there was a lot of like sexual abuse yes. and control, manipulation, mind fucking control. And so they go into their whole story, and that was just a whole other thing. But there's a point where one of the sisters, her name is Melanie, she decided like 12 years before the other sister, like, I'm getting out of here.
Yes.
Because that guy Robert was like, you're going to have sex with this man, and you have 10 days to, or how many days do you need to decide? She says 10, he goes, you have 3. And so she calls her friend Marquis, and Marquis comes to pick her up in his van, and he says, I have a bat, and I don't know what I'm going to do with that bat, but I was going to use it if I needed to protect her. And he just blindly came and got her from her TikTok dance church group and said, like, I will protect
what
you no matter
down
what.
Ass friend.
And I was going to say, that is literally me and you showing up to any conversation ever. Like, our husbands could be 100% in the right, and we have a bat. And we're I'll back you.
Yeah.
I will back you.
And I feel like we're at the point in, like, our friendships that we're just willing to, like, get on each other's team yeah. in real time. I'm like, yeah. don't you dare, Luke. And he's
don't
like, you're in
you
my home.
He's making us snacks, and you're like, you better not even right
we're
now
like,
bring that
get
up.
Get out of our dream house.
Yeah. If there's one thing about us, we're always going to yell at our husbands to get out of our dream house.
And they're always going to roll their eyes because they were leaving the room anyways.
But it just does something for us to be able
yeah.
to yell it
no,
at them.
No, you would definitely save me from
for
a
sure.
church group. The other day, I was just having a really hard day, and you brought me a Chipotle bowl,
yes.
burrito bowl, and my mom was like, what a special friend.
Honestly, I just feel like if you're going to be sad, you might as well be sad with some good food.
Absolutely. But yeah, I feel like it was really crazy to see this end of the story. And then, of course, you go back to other Melanie's parents, and they're like, they're obviously thinking that, like, this part can be happening to their daughter, too. They
yes.
don't have any tangible proof because
no.
they only see, like, this weird robotic version of her. There's, like, this really weird interaction that her dad talks about, which,
yes.
like, give me a 60-something-year-old man crying on the television and, like, you know,
I know,
I'm a ball of mush.
For sure.
But he goes on to tell a story about how she got engaged to this boy, this
yes.
B-dash boy,
yes.
who, like, who we think kind of reeled her in. But we also think
yes.
he's brainwashed. So, like, who's
yeah, they're
who's
like,
at
they
fault,
are victims,
you know?
But it's just, it's hard to see the family be victims of their, like, the,
yeah.
all of these people are just being hurt.
It's a real
like,
whodunit.
It really is.
So they say, okay, meet us at this fucking random hotel. And,
yeah.
like any parents that love their child, they just fucking go. They're like, sure, we'll go.
Of course.
And then their daughter does, like, this really weird thing where she goes, like, live on social
filming
media.
Filming herself.
And she kind of makes it like her parents are not happy
yes.
with her
being a part of this group and the marriage.
Of, like,
yes. Oh, yes. There
like,
are racial like implications
yes,
as well.
That they're racist and that they don't want her to be with this black gentleman. And like her parents are crushed because, first of all, like
he lived
no,
with them in
didn't.
COVID also.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if you saw that part, but they like they had a great relationship with him before all of this.
Yeah. His parents are like, what a nice boy
yeah.
he was. And then they're like talking about that. But they also feel like how dare you like put a bad reputation of us out yes. there, because like that's obviously she's very popular, you know, yes. she's a freaking influencer.
Absolutely.
And now you're kind of putting targets on your parents' back.
Yes.
And you could tell they just felt like really betrayed and like.
Yes. Well, she did that also in big time, like as retribution to them, because there's a point where like, honestly, like thinking about my sister being, you know, taken by some kind of cult and like this kind of thing happening, like I would be doing anything I could. My parents would do anything they could. They tried going to law enforcement. Nobody's helping them because they're adults there by their own free will.
Literally, they're like on the line with like the human trafficking yeah. hotline, and they're like, they're consenting adults. Yeah. And unless they ask for help, we can't
do anything.
Help them.
While they're watching their daughter literally die to them, because that is what she was doing. There was this whole thing they go into with the documentary about how they needed to die to themselves and die to their family. And that's what she was doing. She didn't want to be associated with them anymore. And she thought she was saving them. But when it comes to the part where they're finally like not welcoming, but trying to have some sort of a relationship, it is under like the agreement that they will not bring up anything, any yes. of the church stuff that's been going on, none of it. So now, like in real time, they're in this place where they are in each other's lives superficially, but like there's no talk of what happened. And there was this part where I don't know.
Which they also have to like sign NDAs yes. at one service, which like anywhere you have to sign an NDA.
You're just like, this doesn't seem like
I don't really
want to
be at.
Yeah.
No.
This just doesn't seem like what God would want for us.
No.
You know, like
she would never me sign an NDA.
She would never.
Not my God.
So I'm just saying. So I'm like, this just like I'm saying, I'm suspicious.
Yes.
So that was feeling a little bit weird to me. But one part that was sad to me, and I completely understand that these parents are desperate to get their child back, which, of course, mm-hmm. of course. But there's this moment where the mom is kind of pleading with the sister that they're, you know, very much have their relationship with, that's also trying to get their sister, where they're like, you know, what if we just pretended none of this ever happened and she just came back and we could just go back to normal? And of course, I can see why a mother would feel that way and why they just would want none of this to ever happen. But at the same time, before the sister even responded, in my mind, I was like, that is so not fair to
yeah.
her.
No.
Like, she has been through so much as a result of this,
oh,
as a
absolutely.
Result of what her sister is also going through. But like, that's a thing that I think as parents, we get in our head about, like on a large scale, like not putting things onto our kids. And in that moment, I was like, no, no, no. And I was so happy because then the sister was like, I can't just forget what she did to me. Like,
yeah.
how can I forget? And so it's like, some of the parts feel very like almost silly because they're just doing a lot of like heavy dance clips in the middle, splashing water between these like dramatic scenes. But there is like honestly a really interesting and dark story intertwined in this documentary
yes.
that I found very interesting.
Which the part with them having to do like the really old songs
yeah.
and like the weird outfits, I remember those on
yes,
TikTok.
Me too.
Me and my husband
and
were
they're
like,
still
I
making
definitely
them.
Remember those.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like these people are just out there living.
Do you think this is all part of 7M's plan to get
yeah.
those views up?
This
and
is
work
the advertising.
Because honestly, I don't think I've seen them in the algorithm
is this
for a while.
Netflix documentary funded by 7M themselves?
Is this her way of getting into the cult for her bad dancing?
She would never.
I have a conspiracy theory. But no, I do. I feel like you said, it's a dark story. It's very sad. I didn't watch. Did you watch the ending?
I did.
What is it? What is the ending?
So
as per usual,
it's kind of honestly
left on a cliffhanger.
It's a little deflating. Like a lot of the people that were a part of it that they show in the interviews during it, they did like it, they had this dawning moment on them where they're like, okay, the news started to break out and they were like, we're getting out of here.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with all of that. The blonde girl, the one that we've been talking about, Miranda, she, it's not confirmed whether or not she's still a part of it, but she's definitely still not talking. Like, so, there's something still going on
yeah.
with her. Like, she has just been completely.
Because the church is still, like, going.
Yeah.
Right?
And Robert has been charged with nothing. I don't know if you got to this part that where they were like, you have to have at least 4 women sexually assaulted for anyone to care.
We have a
and
minimum.
I just looked at my husband and I was like, what the fuck? How many?
I feel like every time I watch like a like documentary of this nature and like a crime and that sort of thing, I am appalled by like the laws.
They're like, just one woman means nothing to us. Nothing.
Four. Gather me four.
And then and then we'll think about it because it's just your word against his. So it's a dark thing, but I will say it was an interesting watch. And like Melanie was saying, it's good for us to know the signs of this. You know, it's good for us to like hear how this shit can start.
And I think it's really important for like the generation that's younger than the Gen Z. What are they?
I couldn't even tell
you. The babies. I know there's Gen Alpha, but like I'm talking about
it just doesn't make sense. I'm talking about
the preteens. I think it's important for them who they are getting famous on the internet. Like they are figuring it out.
Well, they're just figuring out ways
to connect with influencers, and they have this much more attainable idea of fame than we do.
Of course, because it's possible.
If you talk to an 11-year-old and you ask them what they want to be, like there, it's going to be some sort of fame
for sure.
But for sure, I feel as though with that generation, it's important for them to learn censorship in a way that we didn't.
Yes.
You know, like we just were throwing our whole lives at, we were throwing our lives at the wall hoping it
stopped. They're like, here's Jersey Shore. Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah. Here's MySpace. It's for college kids, but you're 14. Here you go.
You're like, gonna love it.
So I just feel like to have like the open reins and not have any sort of warning.
Yes.
Like there is so much caution to be had.
Absolutely.
And this is like a very like innocent,
very real cautionary beginning tale.
And very real scary ending.
Yes. So I would recommend it because I did think that it was interesting to watch. What would you give it for a rating?
I mean, I'm going to finish it.
Oh, you know, yes, that's true.
Per usual, I haven't finished it, but I love a self-induced cliffhanger.
I'll give it a little, let me see. What will I rate it? I mean, it's not something I'm going to throw into my comfort movies, shows, but
I would give it, like, probably 3.
I was going to say 3 as well.
Two
I think that's fair.
Three.
But worth watching, interesting,
kept
my attention.
That, like, they have started really, like, they've upped the budget on these types of docuseries for Netflix. And they now make these, like, Dexter-level intros that
you saw the rain dancing.
You can skip them, but
yes,
you can watch them. And they honestly, I feel as though they give them away way too much in those and the first episode that
yes,
they sort of become like, you're like, I kind of know how
I kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen.
Exactly. No, I completely agree.
But
thanks for attending our virtual mom support group with Stephanie
and Lauren. Pull up a chair, light the sage. We are going through it.
And growing through it.
And we're always rooting for you. Kenny had a really funny theory on her that I'm just like, I ignorantly supported because it was funny. That he's like, maybe she just sucks at dancing and they didn't want her in the club. And now
she's mad
feels
that
bitter.
She never got into the cult. She's like, but
she's like, it was fucking weird from the start after my 15th audition
oh,
to be in
God.
7M.